We have with us today Brian Lucas. He is a commercial real estate agent, focuses on buyer and tenant rep. He is with Botticelli Realty Advisors. Their website is bradvisors-sd.com. One more time, bradvisors-sd.com. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Also with us, Alan Mindell. He is an author of the book, The Closer, a baseball love story, which we will get into in depth ahead of us in just a little bit. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Well, right out of the gate, what does it mean to specialize in tenant rep?
Well, tenant representation is basically the real estate transaction from the tenant side of the equation. All we do is represent companies that are looking to do something with their commercial lease, whether it's an office lease or an industrial lease. We help them through the entire process of figuring out what they need, all the way through researching the markets, and then helping them secure that lease transaction.
So where David and I might play on either side of the fence, representing both buyers and sellers in residential real estate, the focus of your company is not necessarily with the sellers, but exclusively with either the buyers or the renters, I guess it would be, right?
That is correct.
And why is that focus? Seems like you're leaving half the market out there.
Well, you are right. It does leave half the market out there. What we have found in the past is that usually tenants, you know, you got a business owner. He's more worried about making money and making his business run properly. And what we do is we help them with that aspect of running a business, i.e., either leasing space or buying space. And what we find is we are able to service our clients better as just focusing on one side of that transaction, whereas a listing agent may have one or two buildings and that's kind of all he's responsible for. We're able to take our client and show them the entire marketplace. It just opens up more possibilities for them.
We're talking with Brian Lucas. His website, bradvisors-sd.com. That's the website, bradvisors-sd.com.
You know, Brian, I see, and I'm sure a lot of people see commercial spaces that don't succeed, right? There's restaurants that go in, they're there for a year, then they're bust, and some other restaurant moves in. And I could see that if a commercial broker is hired to lease that property and some would-be restaurateur drives by and happens to call him, his close is going to be leasing that space, not caring for that client about what's been going on because of parking issues or because of just sheer location. You know, it could really make the difference between success or not success. So is that where you guys come in representing the buyers and their best interest?
Yep, you're absolutely right, David. And if you think about it, a listing agent, he represents the landlord, so he is responsible to that landlord to get his building leased up. Now he is if he's good at what he does, he may he may make sure that the group that's going to be renting the space is strong enough where they're actually going to make it through the term of their lease. But typically, what we do is we're able to through the initial interview with our clients, we're able to come up with a real good strategy based on what it is they need, where it is they want their business to go, whether it's a restaurant or an office or a warehouse user. And so we're able to really tailor and really understand what it is that company wants to do, and then find realistic spaces and realistic locations that will actually help them succeed, so that they're not getting themselves into trouble by maybe going someplace where they can't afford or that's not a good location for their business. We're able to take all of that information and then kind of direct them into the right parts of the market where they are going to be able to succeed.
And you know, Brian, most business owners, not all, but most business owners are focused on what they do best. That is running their business. And a lot of cases, they're not necessarily paying attention to, oh, my lease is coming up, or maybe I should think about getting a better space. Maybe I should think about renegotiating my deal. So is that where you come in, where you're watching over those things for those clients?
Exactly. And with our existing clients, we do help them keep on top of various milestones and various dates that require decisions on their part that are written into the lease. You know, perfect example is When they get a lease and they get new space, the last thing they want to do is look at that lease again, because it's generally speaking a time consuming and, you know, sometimes can be a frustrating process. So the first thing they do is drop that lease into the file and forget about it for the next few years. And that's probably one of the worst things you can do, because there are things that are built into that lease, most importantly being when it expires, that a business owner really needs to keep track of, so that they can maintain that the two aspects that we personally think are most important in the negotiation process, and that is time, and then be able to explore alternatives in the marketplace. So if they just just kind of forget about that lease, it can get them in trouble towards the end of their lease term.
Yeah, I would imagine the amount of other available spaces has a lot to do with a current tenant's ability to negotiate a better rate or better terms with their existing landlord, right?
Exactly right. What we tell our clients, regardless of whether or not they want to stay in their current location or move, and that's a decision that we help them kind of come up with based on what their future business model and their future business plans are. But regardless of whether or not they want to stay, identifying options gives them at least some leverage with the landlord to say that, hey, you know, maybe if we don't necessarily get a deal that we like where we currently are, we have A, B, and C options out there that we can definitely move to. So it does help with the leverage.
You know, when I think about commercial space and I think about the renegotiation that you're talking about in terms of possibly saving the business owner money or actually looking out for their best interest, you know, it just seems to me that it would be nearly impossible to renegotiate a lease if you get into one and you find out that you're paying too much. I mean, are there certain circumstances? I mean, for example, what comes to mind is, you know, in North County, right off the freeway there was a Lowe's, which is a major anchor, and they pulled out of there probably to relocate to that Carlsbad location off of Palomar Airport. So all the business owners in there, such as Crunch and all the other restaurants that are affiliated with that little space, you know, they lost a major anchor that was pulling a lot of clients in there that may sidestep and, you know, move into their business. Is that a time when someone would be able to renegotiate? Tell me more about this renegotiation.
Well, in that particular instance, it all depends on how much time a tenant or a client has left on their existing lease. So unfortunately, if they were to just move in and a month later, the Lowe's in your example leaves, so the major anchor leaves that center. If a company has moved in and they have a longer term lease, it's generally very difficult to come back and renegotiate that lease with the landlord. I mean, obviously it's a legal document. It has happened in the past. In 2007, 2008, when things really got bad, a lot of people did try to do that with the landlords. You know, if you're better off either trying to sublease the space to another company, because you are legally obligated to the terms and the conditions of the lease that you signed in on.
But couldn't there be something in the lease that would say if this tenant moves, then, you know, we might not necessarily be bound to our contract? Would that be something that someone could negotiate in?
I'll answer that by saying, you know, anything is negotiable, and landlords they run the spectrum from being accommodating to those sorts of things to landlords that wouldn't. Probably most of them would not, but I would say that anything is negotiable, and then a lot of that negotiating strength has to do with the type of company that particular person is when they're negotiating with the landlord.
You know, we took commercial space in Carmel Valley, in Piazza Carmel. And pretty high rent, in fact. Still have the space. However, when we were there, there were two times when they redid the whole parking lot. And they rerouted everybody. I mean, parking was quite, you know, was really, really difficult. And I believe it affected every business that was there. And it felt like we were subject to what was going on with the owner over what was going on within our business to run it. You know, we expect them to be able to provide parking and the structure and so on and so forth. And when they weren't providing that, it really became tough.
Yeah, and built into the lease, there is language that discusses, sort of who's responsible and what some solutions could be for business interruptions, like you're referring to. But Unfortunately, sometimes things like that happen. There are, during the negotiation process, there is a time when you can actually ask the landlord, hey, are you re-slurrying a parking lot as capital expenditure? They probably plan out, a few years in advance. So during the negotiation process, you can kind of find out if they have planned any type of massive capital expenditure on that building that potentially might impact your business.
Brian, would you be willing to review a business owner's lease to see if there's any way that they may be able to renegotiate that situation or if there might be something better for them out there?
I absolutely would. If you're listening to this radio show and you give me a call and let me know that, I'd be more than willing to give you a complimentary review of your lease. And then based on what I find with that lease, maybe give you some strategies on how you might be able to alleviate some of the concerns that you might have with your lease. Generally speaking, if you're inside of 2 years from your lease expiration, we'd definitely be able to give you some relevant strategies that you might be able to employ.
Well, if you want to take Brian up on his offer, his direct line, his direct cell phone, right?
Correct.
Right. 760-445-9908. That's the number, 760-445-9908 or brian@bradadvisors-sd.com.
Correct.
Now, over there at Botticelli Realty Advisors, just two of you, right?
Correct.
Yourself and your business partner.
That's correct.
Kind of a small family-owned shop, not terribly corporate. You're going to be dealing with one of the owners, right?
That is correct. Vince Botticelli and myself, between the two of us, have over 30 years of commercial real estate experience representing tenants. And we're very experienced, and we're experts in every facet of a lease transaction. And, so it's just the two of us. So most likely you'll be dealing with either myself or Vince.
So, again, your recommendation is if your lease is within 2 years of expiring, it's time to start looking at it again, unfortunately, to determine if there's some options there. And it might turn out there isn't. You can talk about vacancy rate and things like that to determine if there really are options. And we'll go into that a little bit further later on in the show. But to get a hold of Brian, you go to his website, bradvisors-sd.com. One more time, bradvisors-sd.com. He'll review existing leases for free and give you his recommendations as what can be done to negotiate, renegotiate, stay put, whatever makes sense. He's there for that input. When we come back, we're going to hear from Alan Mindell about his new book, The Closer, ahead of us when we come back. Feels like
I'm knocking on heaven's door. The best part about being smarter than everyone else is that we don't have to listen to all the talking heads. We don't have to listen to all the rumors and all the graybeards who think they know how this stuff really works. The law is on your side. That's right. The laws are designed to protect consumers from being riddled with debt. They're designed that way so that you can become debt-free and get a fresh start. You should do what I did. When I had financial stress, I called William McDonald with the McDonald Legal Group. Find out how you can use the law to your advantage. Delete your debt and keep your stuff. You got credit card debt, timeshares, old IRS debt, collections, medical bills. Any of this stuff can be wiped away with the Chapter 7 bankruptcy, and it only takes 100 days. Call William McDonald today. 800-997-1235. 800-997-1235 or go online, sandiegobankruptcy.us.
Just having an estate plan or trust in place isn't always enough to make difficult times less challenging for you and your family. Life is full of change. This is why it's so important to have your estate documents reviewed regularly. Contact my attorney, Jared Causa with Neil Diamant Law Firm, and find out if a review of your estate plan is needed. 619-238-1712. Since life changes so quickly, make sure your estate is properly handled. 619-238-1712 for your free consultation. Just mention Mr. Credit. 619-238-1712.
Hi, it's the Herd. With Valentine's fast approaching, do what I do. Wow her this Valentine with roses from 1-800-Flowers.com, your rose authority. Okay, first of all, they got a limited time offer just for my listeners. Available only today. Just today, order a dozen roses and get 6 additional roses and a vase for $29.99. That's 18 roses and a vase for under $30. Plus, upgrade to 24 roses, 2 dozen, and a box of chocolates, just $10 more. But you need to order now because this offer ends Friday. Only while supplies last, and they'll run out. Order today for Valentine's delivery. Don't screw it up, guys. They'll never forget. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. That's 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin. Or you can always just call 1-800-Flowers and mention my first name.
Welcome back, ESPN 1700 AM, Real Estate Radio Hour with your host,
David McKelvin.
And myself, Ryan White. We just got finished hearing from Brian Lucas with Botticelli Realty Advisors. His website, one more time, bradvisors-sd.com. bradvisors-sd.com.
You know, we've got the privilege of having Alan Mindell in the studio right now after basically a 10-year book famine. You're author, you're a book, your book came out, it's doing well. And in fact, you've got a book signing coming up pretty soon. The book is called The Closer. And tell us a little bit about The Closer.
The Closer is, David, is kind of a fantasy of mine in the sense that I did play college baseball. I did have a tryout with the Angels, but they wanted to make me into a switch hitter. And I had hit right-handed for so long that it was a tough transition. They wanted to make me a switch hitter because I had a lot of speed. I could get down to first base quickly and so on and so forth. So what I did, is because I wasn't good enough to play professional baseball, is I wrote a book about professional baseball and injected myself into it. I was a center fielder during my playing days, but what better place to inject yourself into the pitching mound? And what I did is I created a knuckleball pitcher. Who finally, after 15 years, and it kind of correlates with my own writing career. It took me, as you say, a decade or more to get published because I declined to self-publish. And it took my main character, Terry Landers, 15 years to finally make it to the major leagues. But when he does hit, he hits. So
your book, The Closer, is about baseball.
It's
about your passion. It's a little bit about a struggle of a young man that works his way up to being in the major leagues. And there's just so many different parallels to the struggles that you've personally had in your own life in terms of actually getting this book published.
Ironically, it worked out that way. It's quite ironic. It was obviously wasn't planned. I would much have preferred to make the majors myself, right out of college, and would have much preferred to get the closer published right out of the box, so to speak. But it took quite a while to accomplish it.
So now that you've accomplished your book, which is something that you decided not to self-publish, you decided to go actually get the book picked up and then actually published by a publisher, which is really out of the box considering what most people do today.
It's true. I just felt that my writing was good enough to nothing against people who self-publish, but I just felt as though it was good enough to go the traditional way, you might say. And I'm very happy that I did. The publisher, I thought, did a terrific job with the cover, and also helped substantially with editing, and the entire process was a nice process. Plus, I think, kickstarted the book so that actually within the first couple of weeks was the number one best-selling paperback in new sports fiction, right up there with John Grisham and so on and so forth. So I was really excited by that process, and it was unbelievable.
Pretty good names to be rubbing up against.
Really.
So, you know, in this book, The Closer, when you're talking about the struggle that your main character has to actually get to the major leagues and succeed, you're having some of the similar struggles in getting your book published. But at the same time, you're not a quitter. I mean, you're actually a gold medalist. So what advice do you have for some of those aspiring novelists out there that are still struggling to attract a publisher?
Perseverance. Just keep at it. I've been using a little promotion in the sense of life begins at 70, and with just the idea that just keep at it. In fact, I'm planning on doing some inspirational talks to senior groups about just the idea of keeping at it, possibly not as a writer, possibly not as a baseball player, possibly not as a sprinter in the senior Olympics, but just whatever you're good at, keep at and follow your dream.
We're talking with Alan Mindell, author of The Closer. You can get your book on Amazon, right?
Correct.
So one more time, The Closer, Alan Mindell. Tell me a little bit about what the book is about.
It's about a knuckleballing pitcher who finally gets his opportunity to play in the major leagues. He meets a family in distress, and without really knowing it, he's searching for meaning in his life. And when he meets the family in distress, he finds the meaning. He thought that just making the major leagues would do it for him, but that's not really the case, because he falls in love. He's the closer in more ways than just being a relief pitcher.
Now, what does that mean, to be a knuckleball pitcher or a relief pitcher?
Well, a knuckleball pitcher, a knuckleball is a certain type of pitch that kind of flutters. Brian, you probably know a little bit about the knuckleball yourself, that flutters up and dances up to the plate and dives and so on and so forth. In fact, catchers, when they're going to catch a knuckleball pitcher, often have an oversized glove. A closer is the relief pitcher who is assigned the ninth inning job of closing out the game. And he gets credit for a save when he successfully does that.
So I think I heard someone say that this knuckleball pitcher found success later on in his career, right? Which I think is, as I recall, I'm not a huge baseball fan, but one of the unique aspects of a knuckleball pitcher is they're not throwing with such speed. They're actually throwing quite a bit slower, that you can do it for a sustained amount of time throughout your career.
That is correct. And in addition to that, a knuckleballer can pitch more frequently than a fastball pitcher. Tim Wakefield, for example, used to pitch every 2 or 3 days, whereas the typical pitcher needs about 5 days rest in between starts.
And I think you somehow hold it differently with your fingernails or something like that. Isn't that the idea?
You are. You know, I mean, we're going to get you out in the parking lot in a couple of minutes, and we'll go with a couple of knuckleballs.
I assure you, I can throw it slower. That part of it, I've got good enough. Well, that does make sense. And so I think what you're saying is there are parallels between the closing that might happen during the ninth inning of a game, when you might bring in the closer, so to speak. But additionally, he wasn't able to fulfill his life just through baseball, which I think we would all suspect would be very possible with millions and millions of dollars thrown at you.
Right.
But take on another essentially second task that he had to close, being this family in distress you're
talking about. That is correct. And that's really the meat of the story. In fact, Ryan, the irony is that women seem to be enjoying this novel as much, if not more, than men. Because, A, they enjoy the love story, and secondly, the baseball is not so technical that they get caught up in statistics and so on and so forth. So it's been a really pleasant surprise for me that that's occurred.
All you ladies out there, when you're done with 50 Shades of Grey, here's the next step, The Closer. More time on Amazon. Alan Mindell, you can get it on Amazon.
Well, you know, your book, The Closer, has a lot going on, right? You've got this subliminal message in the book, which is the message that you mentioned earlier to us, which is keep at it. So if you're looking for an inspirational book, something that's got a positive uplifting message buried inside the book, the message is really to keep going, not to give up. And one of your focuses, one of your passions that's showing up for you is this message to some of the people that are older, saying 70 is really when life begins.
Exactly, David.
So you've got a main character, an achiever, who makes the major leagues. You've got a main character who is also a seeker, but unknowing finds his true mission in life when he finds this other family to help.
Well stated.
All the while, in the process of the book, your subliminal message is being portrayed, that is, really keep going, not to give up. And that's something that we're seeing with your life, with this publishing of the book,
right?
Not self-publishing, actually fighting for what you felt you deserved. You got it. You're also a gold medalist. And now you're starting a new book, something right. like Can we say it?
Oh, sure,
The B team?
The B team, which is a story of a one-eyed racehorse that ends up running in the Kentucky Derby. Another fantasy.
That's going to be huge in Solana Beach. I can tell you that right now. There's a lot of horse players out there, if you will.
We're talking with Alan Mindell about his book, The Closer. You can get it on Amazon. One more time, The Closer. Alan Mindell is the author. When we come back, we're going to speak a little bit more with Brian Lucas of Botticelli Realty Advisors, talk about vacancy rate and how that will play into, the price per square foot that one might have to pay. Ahead of us, we come back.
January 1st, health insurance is changing for all of us. So how is your insurance going to change? Will you be forced to buy a new policy or change your existing one? What are your options? Craig Gusson with Auerbach & Gusson is a certified health reform specialist who can help answer these questions today at no cost to you. Just call 858-546-4101. That's 858-546-4101 to learn everything you need to know about health reform. 858-546-4101. 4101.
Attention, Southern California homeowners. U.S. government housing reports show that you and your neighbors live in an area of the country where the housing market was hit particularly hard. I'm sure this is no surprise to you, but the good news is that Quicken Loans has a powerful financial tool that could help you take advantage of today's low interest rates and save you money on your monthly mortgage payments. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. And the tool I'm talking about is the Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Nearly 3 million American homeowners have already taken advantage of HARP and are saving an average of $250 a month. And even if you were unable to get a HARP loan in the past, new guidelines mean that now you may be eligible. To learn more, call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com. That number again is 800-QUICKEN.
Important terms and conditions apply. NMLS number 3030. Licensed by the Department of Corporations under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act.
This is John Feinstein, and this is a CBS Sports Minute. On Saturday morning, 46 members of the media will gather in a room to decide who will be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame next summer. There are 15 candidates. Somewhere between 4 and 7 of them will learn later that day that they have become Hall of Famers. This year's meeting will be different than in the past because there will be a TV camera in the room. Not live and not for the entire meeting, but a camera nonetheless. This makes many of the voters unhappy. They think a TV camera might inhibit their discussion. It shouldn't. If you accept the responsibility of voting for a Hall of Fame, you should be willing to share with the public who you voted for, who you didn't vote for, and why. It's called transparency. It's what we in the media constantly demand from the people we cover. At the very least, we should be held to the same standard. I'm John Feinstein.
Policies issued by American General Life Insurance Company, Houston, Texas. Not available in all states. For details, visit AIGdirect.com.
On March 3rd last year, Henry W. faced his own death with incredible courage. He wasn't in an accident. He wasn't ill. He wasn't in any danger. But he faced this reality head on. If he died, his wife and children wouldn't be able to pay the mortgage, make the car payments, or keep up the life they'd had. His family would lose everything. So he picked up the phone and called AIG Direct. He found out that through AIG Direct, he could get a $250,000 policy for just $18 a month. Now, he knows that he's helped make his family's future secure, no matter what happens to him.
Protecting your family with coverage through AIG Direct is fast, easy, and incredibly affordable. Call AIG Direct right now for a free no-obligation quote. The call takes less than 5 minutes, and you can save up to 70%. Call now, 1-800-733-5621. That's 1-800-733-5621. 1-800-733-5621.
Welcome back, ESPN, 1700 AM, the Real Estate Radio Hour, with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard a little bit from Alan Mindell, author of The Closer. One more time, you can find his book on Amazon. It's called The Closer, A Baseball Love Story. Also, he's having a book signing on February 9th at Warwick's in La Jolla, right? February 9th, what time?
That is correct. It's high noon.
High noon. Okay. Don't confuse that. Low noon, February 9th at Warwick's in La Jolla, book signing with Alan Mindell, the author of The Closer. So as promised, let's talk to Brian Lucas here with Botticelli Realty Advisors, talking about vacancy rate. And really, one of the reasons we're talking about vacancy rate is because that really plays to the hand of the potential renter. Or I guess it works to their detriment, too, if there is not a vacancy rate. But the higher the vacancy rate, the more options the renter would have, and potentially the more scared a landlord would be to fall on the side of vacant. Right.
Exactly right, Ryan. And in marketplaces or submarkets, I should say, where vacancy rates are high, as an example, Carlsbad over the last few years have had a higher than the average.
Carlsbad has high vacancy rates
for their office space. It's higher than the county average. So in a situation like that where there is high vacancy rates, and if you're a tenant that's out in the marketplace looking for space, what we find is in high vacancy areas, the landlords are more willing to offer concessions.
Of course.
Whether that's reduced rent, other concessions that will kind of help reduce the occupancy cost for the tenant. So the higher the vacancy rate, obviously, the more competition amongst the landlords to not only retain tenants, but also to entice tenants to come into the building to help fill it up. Now, on the flip side, a submarket like UTC, the office space in UTC, is a very tight market right now. And so there's not much in terms of there's really not an incentive for a landlord to offer concessions because for the most part, it's the real healthy vacancy rate in a submarket like UTC.
What is the countywide average of vacancy
rate? It's right now for office space. It's
for office space.
And it's actually trending down over the last couple of years, which is a good thing. It's generally between 13% and 15%.
Okay, so let's say 14% is the vacancy rate. What is it in Carlsbad?
Carlsbad is mid to high 20s.
Mid to high 20s.
And thankfully, that's been going down over the last couple of years. And the trend, which bodes well for the San Diego economy in general, I would imagine, the trend has been those are coming down.
So the vacancy rate in Carlsbad is double what it is San Diego-wide. 13-14% to let's say 26-28%.
Yeah,
I understand they're filling up. I get that, as it stands, that's a substantial. I expected you to say it was like 2% different, but that's a substantial difference. Why does nobody want to have office space in Carlsbad?
You know, it all depends on what type of business you are. If you're a high end law firm, for instance, they want the premier submarkets. They want the premier office space. Usually that's found in UTC. Del Mar Heights right now would be the premier office address in San Diego. So you find that they're not necessarily the big high-end, high-image type of companies. Now, obviously, there are those as well up in Carlsbad. But sorry, go ahead.
No, you know, I mean, the thing about Carlsbad, it seems to me that you know, they've got Palomar Airport in there, and they put a lot of lean-ups over there by Bressy Ranch and things like that. And, you know, they just connected Melrose and things, which opened up that whole racetrack. I don't know if that was San Marcos where the racetrack was or if it was Carlsbad. But, you know, it simply could be that Carlsbad just basically came out and built themselves out at a time when the marketplace turned. Right, because I remember all the lean-ups that they put up came out around 2004, 2005, when everybody scattered because the market went to, you know, where. And, you know, now they're recovering through this whole process, but they've still got thousands and thousands of open square footage. It just simply could be that, you know, Carlsbad, I mean, when I look at it from my perspective, not a perspective of a professional, it just seems that they built a lot of commercial space. Yeah, maybe it was supply over demand.
That's exactly right. And it just happened to come on the market at the time when the market was going into a downturn. And for the longest time, and again, they're starting to build, which is nice. But for the longest time, Faraday went from El Camino Real out to Melrose, they built Faraday out. There's been large graded pads just waiting to be built, and now it looks like they're starting to build again. So you are exactly right. A lot of product came on the market at the same time, just as the economy was making a downturn.
You know, we're seeing a lot of these interesting businesses go in. For example, we're seeing a lot of microbreweries pop up. You know, we're seeing yoga studios pop up. You know, we're seeing all these different businesses like CrossFit and things like that that are taking these commercial spaces that were traditional, you know, shipping and receiving, you know, type of operations and making them more catered to bringing people in. Are you seeing that as a trend? Is that
If you ever go into any of those breweries up in Vista, yeah, you're a traditional industrial park where you may have trucks pulling in and
We go tonight.
you may have a traditional industrial park where normally it would be, you know, trucks dropping off equipment or whatever. Now you actually have at the end of the day they'll
girls.
Well, yeah,
girls showing up
exactly,
that's
and
right.
You know the brewery will roll up the back door, and then next you know they got a tasting room, put a couple of seats out there, and it turns into an outdoor kind of happy hour, which is great.
And they also have trucks that pull, you know, catering trucks, and so on and so forth, and it's a nice experience.
And just speaking of the microbrewery scene, it's such a popular thing right now, and it's such a trend that San Diego is sort of the hub of that industry.
So many consumers here.
exactly. But it's nice to see that the municipalities where these centers are, where these industrial parks are, understand that that's a growing thing, and they're allowing them to go into traditionally areas where they might not necessarily have been able to in the past.
Are there concerns for a microbrewery potential owner that you would be able to steer them in the right direction? For example, you know, if they're a farmer, there's pesticide issues. You know, if they're microbrewing, maybe there's, you know, disposing of hops, or maybe there's some processes like, for example, you drive by Stone and there's, you know, when they're fermenting all of that beer, you know, there's quite a plume that's coming out of their facility. Is it something that you would be able to steer people? Is this something that you think about when the business owner comes to you and says, I'm looking for a space, and you say, what is it that you do?
Exactly. And we're able to sit down with an owner, whether it's he wants to open up a brewery or whatever the case may be. We sit down with them, fully understand what it is that they do, what it is that they want to accomplish in terms of their business model, and then where they want to be. And then we are able to, based on those answers, we're able to kind of direct them to the place that's going to be the best fit for them.
Brian, how soon should somebody reach out in the planning process to figure out this commercial space concern? How soon should somebody sit down with you and plan where they're going to go?
I like to tell people at least 7 months out. So if your lease expires at the end of this year, count back 7 months, and that's probably a good time to start. Every situation is different, but 7 months is a good rule of thumb. That way you're not rushing. You're not missing something. You're able to really get focused in on not only figuring out what it is you need, but also being able to analyze and research the marketplace to find those alternatives that I was talking about earlier.
We talked a little bit about Carlsbad and its vacancy rate and how it's vastly different, I think, than the rest of San Diego. Now, we're only talking about office space is what we're talking about, right?
Correct.
Your predictions there, your numbers are based on office space. So if one was to say currently has office space in Carlsbad that has a lease coming up here in the next 2 years or year, it may be a good opportunity to renegotiate. Or if you have a lease somewhere else and are willing to relocate to Carlsbad, perhaps there's some discounts to be had. And in not to pick on Carlsbad, it just happened to be the one you mentioned. So do you know off the top of your head what the going price per square foot of office space is San Diego-wide?
Well, again, office space is that rental rate is going to vary rather substantially based on the type of building.
Let's say Class A.
Okay, Class A, you're talking over $3.50 in Delmar
San Diego.
Heights. No, San Diego. And then about $2.50 to $2.75 downtown, right around the $3 range in UTC. And then as you get up to Carlsbad, it's closer to the $2.50 to $2.75 range for Class A properties. Now, obviously, newer buildings are going to be more expensive. A classic example is there's a brand new building up on Delmar Heights, and their asking rate is about $4.50, which, you know, is pretty high. It's almost where it was back before the market took a turn.
So, doing some math quickly in my head here, if I'm to relocate from Carmel Valley, which is Delmar Heights Road, the El Camino Real area there, to Carlsbad, it kind of sounds like I have the potential to save between 10 and 30% just right off the top for my rent.
And that's just that's based on the face rent that they're asking for that building. And that's not even taking into consideration potential concessions that you might be able to get from a landlord.
So the vacancy rate is a somewhat direct translation to the overall price per square foot that one might say. I mean, that's why we track vacancy rate, is so we can make that translation into price per square foot and really identify, you know, if there's a business out there that is looking at their bottom line trying to figure out ways of, you know, we're going to cut marketing expenses, cut advertising, you know, I got to reduce the product of my widget in order to make that difference a little bit higher. You might have one of the missing links, so to speak, and simply relocating your business, there's 10 to 30% right off the top in your expenses back in your pocket.
Potentially, yeah. Occupancy cost, a company's occupancy cost is one of their highest monthly expenses. And to be able to get that under control, definitely going to help the bottom line.
We're talking with Brian Lucas. His website, bradvisors-sd.com. One more time, bradvisors-sd.com. And kind of discussing how there's a direct correlation between the overall vacancy rate of an area and how that translates into price per square foot and, quite frankly, how you can work that number into your business to increase the bottom line. One more time, reach out to Brian Lucas, bradvisors-sd.com.
You know, I can see this conversation could be debated greatly because this is an analytical conversation, right? You're looking at price per square foot, period. When I'm a business owner and I'm thinking to myself, yes, office space is an expense for me, but I'm going for it, right? I've read The Closer, and I'm not giving up, and I'm going for it, okay? And when it comes to actually closing the deal and succeeding in my business, location could make a huge difference. And if I'm looking strictly at the analytical price per square footage, I may miss huge opportunities. And I'm a proponent of thinking there's no free lunch, because if the rent's cheaper, it's probably – there's a good reason for it. Either I've got to ship stuff further, or my employees, you know, the cost of living's higher there. They're going to demand more from me, or, you know, my products are – you know, it's complicated to get my materials to develop my products, or maybe even the city has some political agendas that are going on because there's all kinds of different councils that are coming in. They're making certain rules like you can't have plastic bags or something like that. And next thing you know, people are deciding to shop – you know, 4 or 5 blocks down the street because it happens to be Vista, which is maybe a lower tax rate than Carlsbad, which is actually quite the difference. I mean, these things can make a difference. So, you know, where is it that you come into play here? Because as a business owner, I'm thinking to myself, maybe I could get a better deal by getting all these numbers online and going straight to the owner myself and figuring out if I can negotiate a better deal.
Well, that's actually the there's really three main points that we focus in on when we handle our clients' transactions. And that speaks to the first one, and that is coming up with a real detailed strategic plan and really understanding what your needs are as a business. And that is about as varied as the day is long in terms of what it is that a business really wants. And, you know, the best thing I could tell people is make sure you understand exactly what it is you want, where it is you want your company to go. And then from there, once you have that understanding, and that takes into consideration all those things you were just mentioning. You know, where are your employees coming from? Can your employees walk out the door and go grab a bite to eat at lunchtime? How hard is it for your clients to find you if you have clients that come to your office? All those things need to be taken into consideration when you're trying to figure out where in the county you wanna put your commercial space. And like I said, that's probably the most important thing that we do for our clients, and that is help you understand what exactly it is that you need. Because like you said, you may have something in your head that says my company should be in the top floor of an office building downtown with the best views in the city. And that might not be the best thing for your business. And we help you figure out exactly what it is you need.
We're talking with Brian Lucas, bradvisors-sd.com. One more time, bradvisors-sd.com. When we come back, we're going to hear more about The Closer from Alan Mindell. Ahead of us when we come back.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. I can't tell you how excited I am to have Bruce McPherson with Security One Lending as a regular guest on the show and my go-to guy for reverse mortgages. Listen, if you're 62 years or older and you own a home, whether you have a mortgage or not, chances are you can benefit from one of today's HECM reverse mortgage options. Just call Bruce McPherson at 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174. You can just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Over the past 9 years, Bruce has really earned his reputation as an honest, ethical reverse mortgage advisor, and he's someone I genuinely trust, and you can too. Don't let old myths about reverse mortgages keep you from calling to get the facts. Today's government-insured HECM reverse mortgages are incredibly flexible, whether you need money now or just want to be prepared for the future. Call your local expert, Bruce McPherson, today and get all the answers you need for free. 866-223-7174. That's 866-223-7174, or just email reversemortgagebruce@gmail.com. Have you been selected for an audit by the IRS? Do you owe the IRS money and want to find a way to settle your account as quickly and easily as possible? Hi, Mr. Credit here. Listen, I had the IRS come knocking on my door over $600, which I didn't even owe them, as it turns out. I know how scary this stuff can be. The good news is I know exactly what to do. My tax attorney, Jeffrey Kahn, is board certified and works only on tax-related issues. He understands how the IRS works and how to make the most of each situation. And get this, mention Mr. Credit when you call and get a free consultation and a tax resolution plan, $500 value, absolutely free. Call Jeffrey Kahn today at 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829 today and get these tax issues behind you as quickly as possible. 866-494-6829. That's 866-494-6829.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Always wish you were taller? Well, that's easy. Just go to AutoZone today and get everything you need to fix your car yourself. Then trust me, everyone will be looking up to you.
Sign up for AutoZone Rewards today. Just spend $20 or more 5 times and earn $20 in store credit.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
See store for restrictions and details.
Wendy's presents Captain Daring-ish.
Hello, I'm Captain Daring-ish. Is that a chicken sandwich?
And then some. It's Wendy's Asiago Ranch Chicken Club.
Maybe a bit too daring for me.
Oh, come on. Boldly soar with crisp bacon and Asiago cheese.
Looks good, but must be less daring. Aha, a cat stuck in a really small bush.
Asiago Big, Wendy's Asiago Ranch Chicken Club, with bold flavors like rich Asiago, thick-cut bacon, and cool and creamy ranch.
Now that's better.
Welcome back, ESPN 1700 AM, the Real Estate Radio Hour, with your host,
David McKelvin,
and myself, Ryan White. We just heard from Brian Lucas, bradvisors-sd.com. One more time, bradvisors-sd.com. He'll review your lease, hopefully within about a year of it expiring. See if there's something he can do to help. One last time, bradvisors-sd.com.
You know, we're on the line here with Alan Mindell, author of The Closer, the man who marches to his own drum, doesn't actually give up on his dreams. He's got 4 gold medals.
I was fortunate enough, David, to win 4 gold medals in 1 senior Olympic, which is in 2012. I knew I wouldn't embarrass myself too badly because I always was able to run pretty fast, and so when I turned 70, which is the age category that I competed in, I felt like I wouldn't embarrass myself too badly. So I got in shape a little bit, came out, didn't embarrass myself, and then decided to really start training. A couple of hamstring pulls later in 2012, I was able to win a gold medal in the 50, the 100, the 200, and the 400 meters all in the same day.
Wow.
So
that's pretty rare for a sprinter.
And I didn't sprain a hamstring until the following year, 2013, when I won a gold medal and two silver medals, and also won a sprained hamstring in the third race that I ran in. So
So we're talking about the Senior Olympics. And what surprised me, kind of shocked me a little bit, was that the first level of entry in the Senior Olympics is age 50.
That is correct, David.
That's interesting.
That's right. So you get some young people and some very talented, almost professional runners. In fact, I had won two consecutive golds in the 400 meter until this guy came along who was absolutely a professional. And he was rated, I think, like sixth or seventh in the entire country. And he just whizzed by me, and I thought maybe I could hang in and catch him, but it wasn't going to happen.
Okay, so you have written a book, The Closer. You're working on your second book, The B Team. You're living in Solana Beach. You were a owner of racehorses. You're a four-time senior gold medalist. What is on your bucket list? What's left?
Well, the idea of a one-eyed horse winning the being competing in the Kentucky Derby.
Some might say it'd be lighter.
But again, kind of a fantasy. Anybody who's been involved with racehorses would love to have a racehorse that competes in either the Breeders' Cup or the Kentucky Derby or whatever. I don't think it's going to happen in my waning years, but I can sure write about it, and that's basically.
Well, I guess I got to ask, how many one-eyed racehorses do you own?
The truth is, I have never owned one, although currently working on a children's story about a one-eyed racehorse and a boy with only one sighted eye. So I don't think I need to describe the plot too much there.
Well, now do racehorses? My understanding, they only turn left, right?
Correct.
So what eye is he missing?
Fortunately, he is missing the right eye.
So he can turn left that way. Got it.
But what ends up happening, good question. Mm-hmm. What ends up happening, though, is he doesn't see horses coming on his outside.
Sure, of course not.
And so that's part of the drama here to possibly get him to see horses on his outside or at least put him in a position where he's going to be effective during the course of a race.
So, Alan, you know, now that you've written your book, you opted not to self-publish it. You actually went through a out-of-the-box kind of way. I mean, having actually a publisher pick up the book and publish it. Is that making you get published easier?
Yes,
now
I think so.
That you've achieved that?
Yes.
Now publishing these children's books you're talking about, publishing this other book, The B Team, that you're working on. Are they picking these books up now that they recognize who Alan Mindell is?
I think that it makes it much, much easier. And in fact, as it turns out, not only did I get one contract from a publisher for The Closer, but in the mail I received a second one about the same time, and I had to choose between two publishers. So to answer, that's a good question, David, and the answer is yes, it makes it much, much easier.
So did that have anything to do with what was going on within the baseball scheme of things at the time?
Another good
question.
Came up
with a baseball book, and you know, maybe baseball was really popular at the time.
Well, actually, what turned the corner, not to give my writing credit, because I just feel like, you know, I got lucky. R.A. Dickey, the knuckleball pitcher, was very much in vogue at the time that I received the contracts. And he was the first knuckleball pitcher to ever win the coveted Cy Young Award. And when he got his 20th win during that season, I just jumped because I knew that there was my lead in. And sure enough, that's what happened. And that's why publishers picked up this book and so on and so forth.
So good timing certainly helped.
Timing is everything, yes.
So on February 9th, you're having a book signing in La Jolla on Warwick's.
Correct.
What time was that?
It's at noon until 2 o'clock.
Noon until 2 o'clock, February 9th at Warwick's book signing in La Jolla for The Closer. And you mentioned before your passion is to, in a lot of cases, inspire seniors. So if someone was to want to connect with you, showing up at this book signing may be a good time. If someone was interested in figuring out how you achieved having the book that you wrote published by a true publisher versus being self-published, coming to that book signing and introducing themselves and meeting you may be a good time to at least get to know you.
Absolutely. And I'd be happy to help any would-be writers if they want to send me what they've written, I'd be happy to try to give back through that process.
One more time, Alan Mindell, his book, The Closer, A Baseball Love Story. You can find it on Amazon, right? One more time, Amazon.com, The Closer, A Baseball Love Story by Alan Mindell. Alan, thank you very much. Also in studio with us, Brian Lucas, co-owner of BR Advisors, a commercial realty firm specializing in tenant and buyer representation. Their website, bradvisors-sd.com. That's the website, bradvisors-sd.com. Brian, thank you all for joining us.
Thank you very much for having
Thanks for having us.
You got thank until you. Next week.
Hi, Mr. Credit here. You know, I've suffered from back, neck, and hip pain all my life. I always blamed it on my size and thought I would just have to deal with it. Then I met Dr. Brian Austin, and everything changed. I had been to chiropractors before, and nothing had ever helped. My first visit with Dr. Brian, he took x-rays, did a nerve scan on my spine, both things I've never experienced before. I had no idea that my spine and nervous system affected my overall health. After just a few visits with Dr. Brian, my back, neck, and hip pain were all gone. Today, I give you the same opportunity as me, and it's 100% free. See, I convinced Dr. Brian to give you the first two visits at $230 value for free. Just mention Mr. Credit when you call 858-324-4767. That's 858-324-4767. Treat your pain at the source and get the relief you deserve. You do not have to live with pain anymore. 858-324-4767. 4767. That's 858-324-4767.
Because every day you strive to create opportunities in this prodigal land that is yours, no matter what your background is, you join many that, like yourself, struggle and work hard for the progress of your home that is Baja California. Baja California State Party. Baja California for the Baja Californians.
Have you been following these huge data breaches where criminals hack into company computers and steal customers' personal and banking information? Look, we live in a world where everything about us is stored on some cloud, whatever that is. So you should get LifeLock Ultimate. Bottom line, no one can prevent all identity theft, but LifeLock can help. So get LifeLock Ultimate. Visit LifeLock.com and use promo code ESPN Radio for 10% off. That's LifeLock.com. LifeLock.com.
If your business is spending too much on ink and toner every month, talk to Cartridge World. With 600 stores, we're home and office printing pros, and we'll help you save hundreds of dollars. Our ink and toner costs about 30% less than the superstores. 30%. Cartridge World. We're home and office printing pros. Give us a call and save every time you print. Up to 30%. Find a store near you at cartridgeworld.com. That's cartridgeworld.com.
If you haven't heard yet, postage rates, oh, they've changed again. You know what that means? The post office is even more crowded than usual. That's why you need Stamps.com. You'll eliminate those time-consuming trips to the post office. It's only about 3 miles from where I live, but man, from the time you park to the time you get stuff done takes forever. Everything you can do at the post office, hey, you can do now from your desk with Stamps.com. You can buy and print real postage, any letter, any package, and you use your own computer and printer. The postage rate updates automatically at Stamps.com. You get the exact postage you need the instant you need it. And never go to the post office again. You been there lately? No thanks. Right now, use my name, Colin, for a special offer. No risk, plus a $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale and up to $55 of free postage. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click on the mic, top of the homepage, type in Colin. That's Stamps.com, enter Colin. If you haven't heard, postage rates have changed again. You know what that means? Go to Stamps.com.
Hi, it's Colin Coward. You're listening to ESPN Radio 1700. Catch me weekdays at 7 a.m. ESPN Radio 1700.
Injury reports expected later. Latest weather forecasts continue to look good for Sunday evening in East Rutherford. A high of 43, dropping through the 30s during game time wind chill in the upper 20s. Five-game West Coast road trip in their rearview mirror. The NBA leading Indiana Pacers back home tonight. They'll host the Suns, who handed Indy a 24-point loss in Phoenix a week ago. Also tonight, Knicks play for a fourth straight win. They'll host Cleveland. Clippers to visit the Warriors. And that game you'll hear right here on ESPN Radio. Radio, 9:30 Eastern. College ranks, number 12, Louisville, looking to beat a ranked team for the first time all year. They'll play host to conference-leading Cincinnati. Bearcats carry a 12-game win streak into the matchup that airs on ESPN HD at 7 Eastern, followed by number 10, Michigan, home to Purdue. NASCAR has made another change to how it crowns a champ. Points are gone. Wins will carry the value. Chase Field expanded from 12 to 16 drivers. The 10-race Chase will now carry three eliminations down to a final race, final four. Golf. Waste Management Phoenix Open. Y.E. Yang opens the leader, 7-under-64.
Sports Center on ESPN Radio is sponsored by Red's Apple Ale, the only beer that's crisp like an apple, but brewed like an ale. A little different, a little daring, and anything but ordinary. Red's Apple Ale. Pick different.